Climate change, we all can and must play a part. A new series begins today here on Late Lunch and it'll be broadcast each Tuesday. There are 50 short features. It's called Ours to Protect and it comes from the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Today on Late Lunch, in a few moments, we'll hear from Jennifer Lynch, Loud Conservation Ranger, about hedge cutting and why it's illegal at the moment. But first, our own Nikki Kyle talks to us about a new way of gardening and not using peat-free compost.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by LMFM, the IBI, and funded by Cumasún na Meán with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
I can't believe I'm back with Nikki Kyle in her wonderful gardens in the Knoll. It's been such a long time. I think the last feature we did was 2019 Christmas, before that pandemic broke out all over the world, and I haven't been here since, and I'm delighted to be back with her today. I'm like a child with a new toy.
Lovely to see you too, Gerry. I must say I've missed our little bits and pieces that we've been doing, you know, and it's great. I mean, I know it's lovely to talk on the phone, but it's not the same thing, you know. And I was dying for you to see this, because I just, you know, thought this whole thing that I'm doing now is something which anyone could do. It doesn't matter how small a space you have. You could do half of it. You could do all of it. And there's an awful lot of people now living in apartments and other places where they don't have any outside space, apart from a path or maybe a balcony. So I thought, since I was doing this for myself, because as you know, at the moment I'm on sticks because I have an ankle problem, I thought, why not do it and do it like a balcony garden? So it's really trial and error, and we'll see how it goes.
Nikki Kyle is just ingenious, that's all I'll say, because she is restricted with movement at the moment. She is on sticks, she is on a walk-up, but by God, nothing stops this woman gardening for sure. This is not a big space you're taking
up
here.
No, it's literally, you could fit all these onto most normal balconies, or you could fit half of the arrangement here in a small balcony, or on a path, because what they're actually sitting on, I have to tell people, are two old wooden sun lounges, which open out flat, so you can get two grow bags and two delivery box or containers beside the grow bag on each one. And they're literally, you know, the trays they're sitting on are brilliant. Actually, I must remember, just mention these people, Dublin Indoor Gardening. They do these wonderful Gardena, or I think they're Gardena, plastic deep trays. So that stops mess. It stops any rain running out. And if you've got them outside and you're in a place where it gets very wet, you could drill a hole in the corner. And actually, I got my son to do that a couple of weeks ago. So the rain can drain out if it gets too wet. And you can put a cork in or a little plug in, like an earplug or something, you know, for when it's, you know, you want to retain moisture. So you can actually feed them and your feed isn't running away. They don't make a mess. They're absolutely brilliant. And it's so good for me because I can come along here and even if I end up having to have surgery for this damn thing, I can put a succession of stools and chairs along here every couple of feet and I can hop from one to the other and I can still do my gardening, you know.
So just to describe for listeners what you've done here.
Oh gosh, we go from one end to the other. On the left here, I've got potatoes in a very large tub. Above them, they're actually on an old rollator which broke when I broke my other ankle 4 years ago. The wheel came off, you know, one wheel on my wagon. And so now I've got herbs on the seat and potatoes underneath in a great big tub. Next to that, I've got that lovely little pea we love, Delicate. They're growing in an old delivery box. Now, I have to say, I didn't nick these. I found these on the road at the Apple Green service station where a lorry had gone round too fast and left them on the side of the road. And I thought, well, you know, I've got to help tidy up the place because somebody might have an accident. And if I don't do that, somebody else will. So next to that, I have a homemade grow bag with lettuce, and that actually is a lovely mix called Red and Green Batavia Mix. It's from Klaus Leitenberger at greenvegetableseeds.com, and they're a great mix because they're loose leaf. You can pick the biggest leaves, outside leaves, every day. And again, a little bit further on, we've got more lettuce. They're interspersed with Little Gem, which will, I'm also picking a leaf at a time.
You've created your own grow bags, but significantly, the compost. Tell us about this again, because White's Agri supplied this and it is superb.
Oh, it's fantastic compost. And the bags are lovely and big. People give out to me, oh, you shouldn't be telling people to use expensive compost. Peat compost is the most expensive because it's literally costing the earth. This is peat-free, organic, doesn't have any artificial fertilisers in, because again, artificial fertilisers cause a lot of climate change. You know, they're very, very polluting in their manufacture and spread on the land, and actually half of them run off and go into the rivers and streams and pollute them. So, you know, I came up with this idea of actually making a homemade grow bag, because I was seeing people using peat grow bags so much online and it makes me so angry. I got the idea last year and grew pumpkins in them for the first time. Pumpkins, huge things, which have a big root, need big root room. So after the pumpkins came out, I grew winter lettuce all over the winter. I've grown mustard in since.
So you see, folks, when you invest, it might be a little more expensive, but you get multiple uses out of it from season to season.
You do. I mean, they're about €15 each, but they're huge bags of compost. Mm. And you don't trash them when you've used them. You know, you make two neat holes in the top to grow things in. There's an article on my website which shows you exactly how to do that. And you can grow anything in them. And when you've grown a crop of something very hungry in them, when you take that out, you leave the roots, cut it off the roots, because the roots hold the compost together as well. And just refresh it with a bit of worm compost, which again costs you nothing to make. I'm always telling people to make worm compost. It's brilliant. It's like rocket fuel for plants. And you just endlessly keep recycling these bags. And you know, I can't see an end to them. They're fantastic. Klausmann, organic, peat-free. They do other composts, but do ask for the organic peat-free one, and immediately you're doing something to save the planet just by doing that. Then by growing something in them, you're actually fixing carbon, and by eating those things, which you won't waste because you've grown them well yourself, and you'll be very proud of them, I can tell you, then, you know, you won't be wasting food. And food waste, of course, causes an awful lot of CO2 emissions. And you can keep reusing these bags. And when you're fed up with looking at the bag, you can go and fill a tub with it and grow something else, like these potatoes here besides, and leeks, actually, as well, which are growing in the middle.
Potato and leek bedfellows there. I see you have your basil split out, your tip. You gave us that wonderful tip. Buy the basil in the pots in the supermarkets and split it and make several plants from the one part.
Yeah, it's actually a great way to do it. I'm terribly lazy these days. It takes so long from seed, and it really works terribly well. Just split the supermarket pots.
And continuing along the benches here, onto more of your grow bags.
Yeah.
I spot courgettes over there and tomatoes. Yeah.
Yes, I've got two courgette plants, a Tina, you know, that lovely yellow one in that bag. Next to those, in one of those delivery boxes, I've got a Mascotka tomato. Lots of people have asked me if it does well outside, but no tomato does well outside in Ireland because of the rain, unless it's covered. But because that's a small bush, I can keep it covered with those cloche covers I've got there if it's raining. And then next to that, I've got a grow bag which is about to be opened and used up. Next to that, again, I've got different coloured chards. All is small, which we picked now. They're ready to pick now. They can be used in salads. They can be used in stir fries. They're absolutely brilliant. And those delivery boxes, I say, you can grow in anything. But the better depth of compost you have in them, the better. But always line them if they've got a lot of slots in. Otherwise, you'll find compost running everywhere and the nutrients will run out. So line them with... I use reuse, recycle. I mean, everything here is recycled. I recycle compost bags. I turn them inside out so they don't look quite so unsightly with, you know, they're looking black. And I get a penknife and just slash a few holes in the bottom of them and then put my compost and stuff in. And that retains the nutrients and the moisture. Then next to that on the right, I've got some lovely kales, actually, which I'm looking forward to. They're an experiment. They're called German red palm kale. And again, they're from Klaus Leitenberger Green Vegetable Seeds. And they're looking lovely. And they're supposed to be perennial, semi-perennial. So I won't have to keep planting them. You know, I can just cut them back. I can take a few cuttings from them. I can keep taking kale for salads. And they grow about 6 or so feet tall, I think, eventually.
You know something? It's fantastic. And for anybody, again, listening today, if you live in a an apartment, as Nikki said, with restricted space, or you have a tiny garden, or if you are incapacitated in any way, these benches allow you garden to the full. What a selection you have. And it just shows you there's no keeping a great woman down, that's for sure. And Nikki
you
Kyle.
Can't stop me.
Nikki Kyle epitomises that. Before we finish today, in general terms for our listeners, which you do with us on a monthly basis, we're at the very beginning of June now. What to sow now?
You can sow anything, but I would say, and I hate to talk about winter, but if you want sprouting broccoli, sprouts, Brussels sprouts, things like that for the winter, sow them now. Don't delay. You know, but you can sow anything else. I mean, pumpkins, courgettes, melons. I'm trying a new watermelon this year. It'll be fun. Anything. You know, they're very fast growing. Chards, leaves. I mean, the most healthy thing you can grow to eat every day, if you're growing on this small scale, is these lettuce, which you can pick every day, open leaf lettuce. But any lettuce, basically, you could pick a leaf at a time. But I wouldn't grow butterheads in these because they take up too much room. The leaves are too soft, you know, and they're not very useful. But these are brilliant. You can use them anything. I have a lovely Caesar salad nearly every day with these.
Beautiful, beautiful. And again, the run-of-the-mill stuff like carrots, peas, cobra, the climbing bean, all those. Get them in now.
Yeah, cobra is absolutely brilliant. I sowed it in tubs this year for a change. And it's the best, most disease-resistant bean. I've trialled it with others and the others aren't nearly as good. It's an absolutely brilliant bean. And cedarholic.com have it. On there, and that's a very good website actually. They sell a lot of organic, and they're Irish, they're in the West of Ireland, and they sell a lot of organic seed.
Do you know what? I know now what I've been missing for the last number of years, a conversation in person with you here in the Knoll. So keep an eye out, NikkiKyleGardening.com, because very soon you'll be able to see, read and learn what this is all about. But of course, she's so good to us on LMFM's Late Lunch. She gives us the preview before she puts it up on social media, but it will be there soon.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Happy gardening, folks, and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, Nikki. It's been great.
It's a pleasure, Jerry. You're very welcome.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission Naman with the television licence fee and is a partnership between LMFM and the IBI. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information. The Late Lunch, brought to you by Blackstone Motors, Drogheda, Dundalk and Cavan. Save thousands when you order your all-new 232 Renault Megane E-Tech today and drive off with an electric vehicle bonus and SEAI grant. See blackstonemotors.ie.
Ours to Protect is funded by Comisú na Meán with a television licence fee and is a partnership between LMFM and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
You do know, you listen to us regularly on Late Lunch, that really hedge cutting is not on between the 1st of March and the 31st of August. But believe it or not, I was talking to somebody just the other day who was telling me they were out and about and they saw somebody milling hedges, cutting them at this time of the year. I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you. We're going to talk about it for the next while with Jennifer Lynch. She's the Louth Conservation Ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Jennifer, thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me on, Jerry.
You're very welcome. Is that unusual, what I mentioned a moment ago, to get reports of people actually hedge cutting when they really, really shouldn't be?
Yes, we do. We're kept very busy with reports of hedge cutting during this restricted period from the 1st of March to the 31st of August. And it's part of our remit is to investigate all these reports of potentially illegal hedge cutting during this restricted period.
What's restricted cutting? What else?
So cutting, grubbing, burning, pretty much any destruction of vegetation which is growing in a hedge or a ditch. So grubbing relates to the complete removal of a hedgerow, so this would feature very highly on our list of priorities, while cutting with a flail or a chainsaw, anything that would destroy the vegetation growing in the hedge or the ditch.
There's obviously exceptions to the rules. What are they?
Yeah, there are a number of exceptions, or we call them provisions, under Section 40 of the Wildlife Act. I won't go through them all, but I'll give you a flavour of some of them. The clearance of vegetation that might relate to the construction of a road or the construction of any building, actually, is effectively provided for within the legislation. And there's another provision that's called under the ordinary course of agriculture. And agriculture is seen in the legislation also to include horticulture. which relates to gardening then. So, for example, if you regularly trim your hedges around the edge of your garden every year, maybe once or twice during the summer, within the breeding season, the bird nesting season, then this would be seen as a provision or an exception under the Wildlife Act. Then there's also a section that relates to the Roads Act, which puts a responsibility on the landowner to take responsible steps to ensure that trees or hedges or shrubs don't cause a hazard or a potential hazard to anyone using a public road. So all the reports we get of hedge cutting, it's not black and white. Not all hedge cutting activity is illegal or is an offence under the Wildlife Act.
Do people ever use the exceptions to try and cover their tracks, so to speak? You know, that they know they're probably in the wrong, or they are in the wrong, and yet try to quote those exceptions you mentioned there?
That's a really good question, Gerry. As part of our investigation process, we do interview those responsible for the hedge cutting, and it's our job is to try and determine the intent or the why behind these actions that were taken. A certain amount of practicality or, you know, understanding of the situation is required. So, for example, if I'm visiting a section of road and I can clearly see it's a bad blind bend, or it's a section of hedge next to, for example, a gate into a field, into a crop field, and the farmer is required to bring his combine harvester in and out of that field during that period, and he's cut back, let's say, 10 or 20 metres either side of the gate so he can clearly see the road and go in and out. So the people involved may come with these, let's say, excuses, but it's part of our job is to see if they fit into the legislation and the situation that we're in.
People will say, you know, the legislation is there. Have there been any cases, even in recent times, taken by yourself?
This year we took two cases in March in the district courts in County Louth. So it was one case in Drogheda and one case in Dundalk. In both cases, those involved, both the landowners and the tenant farmers, so the person leasing the lands, they pleaded guilty to the acts that they were accused of doing, so related to the destruction of vegetation in a hedgerow, some related to complete removal, so grubbing out of hedges, and some related to the cutting back of the hedges. And the judge in question, she found them guilty and fined those involved.
Could the fines be heavier?
The fines could be, absolutely. It varies across the country. So these offences are seen as a Class A fine, so it's up to €5,000 that a person could be fined for each offence or each summons they're brought against them. It depends on the judge in question how seriously they view these offences, and also the severity. So the difference between 200 metres of hedgerow being removed versus kilometres or you know, a lot more extensive works. But we do also liaise with the Department of Agriculture. So we are required under our regulations to report any out-of-season hedge cutting to the Department of Agriculture, and they can take their own actions and effectively cross-comply these farmers, which can result in a reduction, quite a severe reduction, in their basic payments. So although the fines in the courts may be quite minimal at times, this can cost landowners and farmers in other ways too.
It goes without saying that hedgerows are so important to biodiversity. That can't be understated. And at this time when it's prohibited, 1st of March to the 31st of August, especially for bird life, but there are other animals living in the hedgerows as well.
I know, Gerry, that you're interested in bees. So I know people are more aware of birds, and they can understand the birds nesting in there and the physical destruction of a hedgerow and the baby birds that are so vulnerable in those nests. There's so little native woodland left in this country, and the hedgerows are the last remnants of those, with our native species, our oak, our ash, our hawthorn, white thorn, black thorn. So what's left there is these hedgerows. They provide shelter that you mentioned, whether it be a nest site for a bird, but also bees will nest in the hedges as well. A lot of our bees will nest on the ground in little holes at the base of the hedge where they're not disturbed, where it's quite sheltered, that there's no wind. And these hedgerows, if there's a good species rich, like a diversity in those hedgerows, they will have food. The bees, for example, will have food from potentially February through to October, November. If there's a variety of plants flowering, nectar, pollen for them. And the birds as well rely on those berries. So those hawthorns, those sloes, the bramble berries that come through later on. Without these, you have this huge hungry gap, and the birds will not survive in the landscape, or the bees either, or lots of insects and mammals that rely on these food sources. So they are absolutely essential to the biodiversity in our in our landscape.
And as I know, and I keep telling listeners, without bees, life on Earth is absolutely under threat. That is for sure. And I'm glad you brought that up and mentioned it in particular. So to finish off today, you know, again to emphasise, 1st of March to 31st of August, restrictions on cutting, grubbing, burning or destruction of vegetation in hedgerows or ditches. That is the law. If somebody listening to us today spots hedges being cut or this type of activity, what should they do?
Well, they have a few options. They can report the activity to the National Parks and Wildlife Service. So we have an email address, natureconservation@npws.gov.ie. We also have a phone number that you can pick up on our website, so it'll direct you to the relevant regional office. So we ask people to send as much information as they can, but the particular information we really need is the location and the time and the date when they observe this activity taking place. And then we can follow up on this. And we do like, if people are willing, just to give us their phone number and their name so we can follow up, and we can, if I can't find it, for example, if I'm not familiar with the townland, or if I'm driving around and I cannot figure out where this report has come from, it's useful for me to be able to contact them. If they can't get through to national parks, or if they have a contact in the local guard station, they can also report it there. The guards are authorised under our legislation as well, and they do take cases. Actually, there was a case this week in the Dundalk District Court where a member of the Garda Síochána took a case relating to hedge cutting. So they can also take cases on this.
Good to know. So no excuse, wherever you live this afternoon, in Louth or Mead or beyond, do report if you see this activity, which is so destructive. Jennifer Lynch, Louth Conservation Ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. You've been so informative, and I wish you well with your work.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee, and is a partnership between LMFM and the IBI. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.